you for your grace and your mercy, that you will grant it to us freely and abundantly, as you always do, Lord God. We thank you to bring us into 2021. And we're hoping for better things, Lord God. We thank you for what you've given us this year, and that you've brought us through, many of us through, this difficult time. And we ask you to continue to be with us and to protect us. Have mercy, Lord God, upon our nation and upon the world. Have mercy, God, as we continue to face this, the virus pandemic, the COVID-19 virus pandemic, Lord, but we know we are not in this alone, for you promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And even though it may look bad, Lord God, we know we can trust in you to bring us through. Have mercy now. So speak again, Lord, a word of hope and a word of love and a word of peace and a word of joy. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so we give God thanks and praise, and we know that God, our Redeemer, lives. And as a songwriter says, because he lives, we can face tomorrow.
Amen.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know that he holds the future, and we know that he holds our hands. Amen. And so my sermon title today is The Wait Was Over. The Wait Was Over. And let me begin with this reflection. It says, when God makes you wait. This is the title of this brief reflection. When God makes you wait. In his book, It Happens After Prayer, Pastor H.B. Charles Jr. provides the following helpful illustration of why God often makes us wait for the answer to our prayers. One hot afternoon, a certain woman walked to her neighbor's produce stand to buy grapes. The line was long, and each person seemed to get special attention. But she waited patiently. When she finally made it to the front of the line, the owner asked for her order, and she asked for grapes. "Please excuse me for a minute," was the answer. Then the owner walked away and disappeared behind a building. For some reason, this rubbed the woman the wrong way. Everyone in the line before her was greeted warmly, and they were given special attention. And most importantly, they were served immediately. But she was forced to wait. And when she got to the front of the line, she was forced to wait some more. She was offended. She felt the owner took her regular business for granted. The longer she waited, the angrier she became. Finally, the produce stand owner reappeared, and with a big smile, he presented her with the most beautiful grapes that she had ever seen. He invited her to taste them, and she had never tasted grapes so good. As she turned to leave with her delicious grapes, he stopped her. He says, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry I kept you waiting," said the farmer, "but I needed the time to get you my very best." How long have you been in line waiting on God to get to your request? How long have you been waiting in line for God to meet a need, solve a problem, or open a door? Whatever you do, don't get out of the line, and don't stop praying. Wait on God, because God will give you his very best. Amen. Apostle Paul says in the Galatians text we heard read, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under law, so that we might receive adoption as children. In the fullness of time, hold on to that word, those words. You see, when we're waiting on God to do something, God will do it in God's time. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. And so that scripture reminds us from Galatians, as Paul tells it to the church at Galatia, he was pointing to back to the story in the gospel, that in the fullness of time. So this story about waiting today is about Simeon and Anna, right? Paul references it in Galatians, but it's really about Simeon and Anna today from the gospel narrative of Luke chapter 2. And these are a pair of players, and they're in their prime. It is important to remember now that these two folks, Simeon and Anna, were in their prime. What does it mean? The prime of their lives. You see, by the time we meet them in Luke chapter 2, Simeon was a grain saint. He was an old man. You see, God has a way of answering our prayers in opportune time, in the fullness of time. And so you're going to see these two older people who had been waiting a long time for the coming of the Messiah. One could imagine that when he was a younger man, the text says, really, when he was a younger man, it says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And one can imagine from the text that this happened to him when he was a younger man. Here's what the text says. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout. He was a righteous man, a God-believing man, and a God-fearing man, right, and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. He was looking forward for this miracle. The consolation of Israel meant he was looking forward for the one who would come to redeem Israel, right? And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And so this happened when Simeon was young, and he had been waiting and waiting. And the Bible tells us that he was righteous and devout. That means he had been praying to God all along, going to the temple, serving God, and waiting. Year after year, day after day, waiting. Friends, are you waiting on anything from God? Does God always answer your prayers, or my prayers, our prayers, immediately? Or do we have to continue to wait until God says so? There's some things I've been praying for years, that I'm still waiting for the consolation, the fullness of time. Amen? But we're going to have to have a kind of stature and determination when we're waiting on the Lord. I want to tell you all online who are watching, many of us are waiting on many things, if truth be told. Right? But while we're waiting, we got to figure out how we're going to wait. Amen? You know, we can only imagine how his heart's violin played at the news. Can you imagine that day when he showed up at the temple, right? That he was told by the Holy Spirit, it is the time, right? He's waiting to have a front row seat in the Messiah coming. The Holy Spirit has told him, so he truly believed that this was going to happen. But then the years and the decades flowed by. He's waiting, and nothing happened. And then it happened. Just like that, the wait was over. That's how God works. You get up one morning, or one night, and the thing that you're waiting for, the way you expect it to come, the place you expect it to happen, none of that happens. And then just like that, in the twinkling of an eye, God steps into your world and answers your prayers. Just like that, the wait was over. The Bible tells us that, guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. Now, here it is. It was going to be revealed, but the Spirit, again, would what? Guide him. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, and as I said earlier, what was customary under the law was that Jesus would be circumcised on the eighth day because he was a little Jewish boy. Amen? Remember that Jesus was a Jewish boy. Yeah, we are in a Judeo-Christian religion. Our Savior was first Jewish before he was Christian. Amen? We became Christian to follow him, became the Christ. So that was customary under the law, that the parents would bring him into the temple 8 days, at 8 days, to have him circumcised. And so the Spirit told Simeon, God had promised Simeon that. And God is not a man that God should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. So God is going to bring it into fulfillment according to his time. And the Bible tells us that Simeon took him in his arms, Jesus, and he praised God. He praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. That Simeon was now ready to die. Amen? Because he had seen the fulfillment. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Ah, can you imagine seeing the promise fulfilled? He says, now you could dismiss me. You could take me home to be with you, because what? I have seen the fulfillment of your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all your people, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles. Now here, friends, this is where we come in. When Jesus came on the scene, as a Jewish boy, he would come out to welcome all people. We are called Gentiles, right? Now we are followers of Jesus Christ. And Simeon knew that. Simeon, this Jewish man, knew that Jesus would come as a light for the revelation to all Gentiles. And the glory to your people, Israel, that Jesus would come into the world. And the child's father and mother, they were amazed at what they had seen. And then Simeon blessed them. I tell you, when you're waiting on God, God will come true. And then there was Anna. Anna, you see, there was Simeon and Anna, two old folks. And Anna would have been 84 years and older, so to speak. You see, there may have been a time when Anna too dreamed of a glorious life. The Bible tells us that her husband died just 7 years after her marriage. So if Anna was married at about 12, they were married young, or betrothed young, and then her husband died 7 years, now it was 84, she's at least 84 or more, right? And things had not turned out right for Anna. But what did Anna do? Anna began to do what? She went to the temple every day to pray and worship God. Even though she had lost the love of her life and she had been a widow, she continued to go to the temple to worship God. The text tells us that there was a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years. And that she never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer day and night. Anna is telling us something. When we're waiting on God to work a miracle for us, when we're waiting on God to bring something true, we must be doing what? Fasting and praying. We've got to take up a position of what? Of fasting and praying, praying to God, seeking God, for God to move in our circumstance and in our lives. And at that moment, she came and began to praise God, because the baby was presented to her also, both to Simeon and to Anna. And I truly believe this little text narrative is left for us to read, to understand and to believe and to give us hope that if we're waiting on God for something, we must not give up. As long as we're breathing and living, we have got to continue to wait on God and do not get weary. Scripture says, do not get weary in doing good, for in due season, God will speak into our circumstance and the situation. Amen? In due season, God will take care of it. And so now I know we live in a world that everything has to happen immediately, but God is not on our timetable, friends. God, the creator of the universe, is on God's timetable. So does waiting on God mean doing nothing? That's a question I want to pose for you today. Does waiting on God means doing nothing? No. Waiting on God sounds like you just sit and do nothing. On the contrary, wait means a state or an attitude of watchfulness and expectancy. According to Webster's dictionary, wait means a state of attitude of watchfulness and expectancy. That means while you're waiting, you're watching, and you're expecting, right? It also means to serve. Just like the word waiter waits to serve at the restaurants. That's where the word comes from. Wait, waiter. To do something while you're waiting. Amen, friends? You're doing something while you're waiting. That's how we got the word waiter. Are you with me? To wait, a waiter is doing something serving you. So what do you do when you're waiting patiently on God? First, you must trust while waiting patiently on God. You must trust God. You're going to have voices from all out on your right side, left side, from all around you telling you, wondering if you've lost your mind. But you must trust while waiting patiently on God. Micah 7:7 says, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Wait on the Lord. God will hear you. Wait on the Lord. Number two, pursue your faith while patiently waiting on God. While patiently waiting on God, one must pursue their faith. It is easy to become angry and bitter when you're patiently waiting on God. It is, you know. It is very easy to become angry and bitter. People tell you things and you get upset. Instead of running, try fellowship and prayer with God. In fact, this is an opportunity to enter into God's presence like never before. God draws us to Him when we go through trials. And so when you're waiting for God to answer, draw closer to God. Get into the scriptures, believers. Open up the Bible. God will give you a psalm. He'll give you a scripture. Open it up and begin to read. Find it for yourself. Sometimes you got to stop talking. You don't talk to anyone, because you could talk to a person. You get up with hope in the morning and you begin to talk to them. And by the time you finish talking with them, you're depressed because they do not have a good word to tell you. Amen? And so you got to keep silent and you got to do what? Go to the Word. Read it over and over and over again till it becomes rhema in your soul. Amen. God has given me a scripture. Gave me a scripture. How many times have I read the Psalm? All 150 of them inside out. Some of them I could recite by heart. And yet God would give me a psalm. Oh, and gave me a psalm on Christmas Day. Just wait on Him. He'll give you something you thought you saw before to let you know, I understand, and I'm working it out. Amen? Wait on Him. And then the third point, serve others while patiently waiting on God. While you're patiently waiting on God, get up and go do something. God will give you an assignment. As the song the young people played, here I am, Lord. While you're waiting on Him, say, here I am, Lord. If you need me, use me. Here I am, Lord. Get busy doing something. Maybe we could visit someone. Call somebody, pray for them. Do something while you're busy, because while you're yet busy serving God, God will answer your prayer when you least expect it. Amen? I tell you, just like a waiter waits on others, God will be calling on you to serve others while you're waiting. And then the fourth point, be watchful and expectant while patiently waiting on God. That's what Anna was doing, going to the temple. Wait with watchfulness and expectancy for an answer from God. I am waiting that every day. Sometimes I think I'm going to lie down in my bed and I says, Lord, you're going to speak to me tonight. You're going to wake me up, aren't you, Lord? I'm always waiting with watchful expectancy. I can't tell folks because they may think I've lost my mind. And I might have lost my mind, but I'd rather lose my mind waiting on God than waiting on human being. Amen. I'd rather lose my mind for Jesus. I'm waiting. I'm expecting God to give me something right now in the name of Jesus. Wait on God with expectancy. Fair warning here. He answers prayers in amazing ways. But really, does he answer them exactly the way you imagine? So all of my imagination of how God is going to answer prayer that I'm asking for, all of that is naught to God. Because none of us knows how God is going to answer the prayer. Simeon and Anna did not know that the one who would come to redeem Israel would come in the form of a baby. They did not know. They probably thought he would come like David as a grown man. But God would surprise them and send him in the personhood of the Christ child. And then my last point, and when be grateful while waiting patiently on God. Be grateful while waiting patiently on God. While you're waiting on God, be grateful for what God has already given you. Remember what God has already given you. Many times we become hyper-focused on one issue that we forget to look around and see what God has already done in our lives. Right? Don't get hyper-focused on your situation. Don't get hyper-focused on the problem at hand. You know, when I start to lose hope, I remember that God, what God has given me. I acknowledge the wonderful blessings of my family, friends and food and home and etc. When I'm waiting on God, I start making a list of all God has done, all God has brought me through, that I've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He has never failed me yet. I can't turn around because He has never failed me yet. Amen. I remember His faithfulness. Now you could do the same thing, friends who are watching and waiting on for God. Think of all the blessings God has done for you. What blessings have you, God, done for you? Write them down. Focus on these things instead of your problem. Begin to write them down. Write them down. When you're getting weary, you're getting depressed. He says, this problem that I'm praying to God about, He's not answering it. Ah, that's the work of the enemy. You start getting your pad and start writing down. And if you can remember, you can remember when He healed your body. You can remember when He brought you through financial difficulty. You can remember when He opened up a door and gave you a job. You can remember. You start writing. And pretty soon you start what? Praising Him. Because He's an unchanging God. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And He will do what He says He will do. And all of a sudden, after you start worshiping Him and thanking Him for what He has already done, the burden gets lighter. The waiting gets easier. Ah, the waiting just gets easier because you're serving and worshiping a God who is faithful and just. Amen. Anna and Simeon showed us that. That we can wait on God. So I say that to you for your life. I'm already on the waiting game. And I'm a waiter. I know how to wait. And I know how to serve while I'm waiting. I'm a waiter. Thanks be to God for God's Holy Spirit. I'm a waiter. I always knew that I was a servant. But now I've got the right title when I read this text. I'm a waiter. That means I wait on God, faithfully trusting Him. And while I'm waiting, I'm serving. I'm a waiter, waiting for God to move in my life and my circumstance, and then serving His people, His church, serving whoever needs to be served in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks be to God. The wait was over. The Messiah came. And because of that, we can rejoice in knowing him. Amen.